You are listening to Offensive Lines with Marlon and Boyd. Small stakes NFL gambling for the average fan.
Welcome to Offensive Lines. I'm Marlon.
I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
Or maim you. I mean, we got one out of three, but...
And we got fucked on the other one, so...
We got fucked on two others. Though Philly was unlikely, but it still had a hope. And Chicago, we should own that fucking game.
Yeah.
That one drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Our overall records on picks, you were a scintillating 5-9. Well, I crushed you with an unbelievable 6-8. It's just embarrassing. Just fucking embarrassing. And of course, even if anyone listened to my advice at the end of the last podcast to fade us, well, at least you got 2 out of 3, but it wasn't the big victory you wanted by fading us.
Yeah, you would have profited more than we did.
Yeah. But, so we're just doing the one podcast this week. We're just going to run through the games we bet on and the Chargers and Titans games. Chargers could be entertaining. And then we're going to do our picks real quick because, I know this will only happen once every century or so based on previous results, but the Cubs are interfering with our podcast. Yeah.
And it could again next week if the Dodgers beat the Nationals and the games are on the West Coast. So I'm a Cubs fan, and that 100-year thing doesn't really make sense, seeing they were in the National League Championship Series last year.
No, and the 100, you guys are going to be relevant for a few years here. So,
oh, like a decade? No, I know.
I was just making a joke.
I was watching the Fox Sports coverage of the post game last night, and I finally heard somebody else say it. What I've been saying, and I told you at the start of this year, they're going to be in this position for a decade. Our infielders are 23, 22, 23, and 27. And you can fill in around them whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. No, and we talked about this before the start of last year, that the Cubs were on a huge upswing. And we said last year, maybe not ready yet. I don't even follow baseball that closely, but I read a lot about it, oddly. And just the way that team is structured is solid as a baseball team can be.
Well, I've never seen... I don't even know what the word is. Seeing Theo Epstein interviewed last night and Joe Maddon, GM, the general or the president and the manager. Madden's so, you can see why everybody loves playing for him, why they're so loose. He's just a cool dude. He's like the guy you'd want for a grandpa because he's like almost 70. But they're asking him about pitching, going into, what was he thinking about? Going into the ninth inning, he's like, well, from the seventh inning on, I was just starting to think about getting ready for Johnny Cueto and how horrible we are against him.
Yeah, because that's then, would have been your thoughts, too.
Yeah, seeing I quit watching in the eighth inning.
I wasn't going to fucking expose that. But
when did 10 strikeouts and 2 hits.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, but... I mean, I was going to give you bona fides as you and Mitch are both Cubs fans. Since I've known both of you, and to the point where for at least the last decade, you watch 162 games a year.
Well, I was getting ready to throw my cell phone.
You're no fucking bandwagon guy.
I was getting ready to throw my cell phone through a wall, so I figured I might as well just shut it off.
Save yourself some money.
Yeah, I wanted to hit something. You've heard my rants on the Titans on this. It was along those lines talking to my sister. I'm like, why am I a Cubs fan? They just put me through this shit all the time. And then they won. Right. So I didn't turn it back on even when they were rallying because I didn't want to. Then my real Cubs fandom stuck in. No, I'm not turning it on. I'm not fucking it up.
Yeah, and so, you mock me for being superstitious.
It's like, no, I'll just keep reading Twitter, eating my supper. And then I turned it on to watch them celebrate. So
okay.
That's why we've been late on the podcast. So,
and this podcast is about football.
Yeah.
So we should get to it. Our first losing game. Well, let's do the winner. We'll start with the winner. The team that we cannot bet on this week, but has been far and away our most successful bet, taking those Vikings. 31-13, this doesn't even feel that close.
Well, what did Osweiler end up with? Like, he, what, completed like 35% of his passes? Something like that. They held DeAndre Hopkins to 55 yards or 56 yards and four catches. They beat him down. They got the touchdown in the fourth quarter, I think, Houston. But it was never in doubt.
No.
Like, didn't Osweiler have like 50 yards passing in the first half? Like, it was
67,
ridiculous.
67, I believe, was the number. But
ridiculous number.
Yeah, and they loosened up later, and then Minnesota's defense seems to have very few holes to me. I know their level of opposition, not the greatest. I mean, they haven't faced the Patriots, we'd have to see. But that offense is what's surprising me about the Vikings. It's boring and efficient. They look like a better offense than the Broncos road to a Super Bowl title last year.
Yeah, and they have a defense that's just as good.
Yeah.
They mix and match with their running backs, decent tight end, okay receivers.
Well, and they were without Diggs in this, which is nominally their number one receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a great player, but he's a very good player. But losing him didn't miss a beat. And it's a nice situation where you can be confident enough in your team to, yeah, we're not going to rush you out there, hurt yourself some more. Save yourself a little bit. We'll just keep grinding out these wins.
Well, they've got to be the clear-cut favorite in the NFC right now.
I would imagine. I haven't checked futures odds on that, but
I don't know who else. Who would you put? Atlanta, really?
I'm starting to believe a little bit. That would be a very interesting game. I'm not sure if they meet in the regular season. But otherworldly defense versus an offense, which somehow Kyle Shanahan learned to game plan to opponents, not just take a philosophy and try to ram it down their throats. Take Julio out of the game, fine.
And then we'll just kill you with a running game.
Yeah, man. It's almost like they're running, running backs.
It's almost like they're running what Peyton Manning and the Colts did. Okay, if you're in a pass defense, we're going to run. And if you bring in the big guys up front to stack the box, we're going to pass. It seems almost like those indie teams. Okay, you want to take that away? We'll go to this. Okay, you're going to take what we just switched to away? Now we're going back to what we want to do. Because Julio Jones or Antonio Brown, nobody can cover him one-on-one.
No.
For an extended period of time. You might get a few pass defense before they hit something big, but you're not shutting them down one-on-one for a whole game. So they have to pick their poison, and Atlanta's got the running game to complement Jones now. And
like I said, will say, Shanahan, I was still not a believer in Freeman, but, you know, as he's continued to do it this year, particularly with Coleman, as a reliever, a secondary back. No, Freeman's the real deal. And I really liked his character on Hard Knocks, so.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to see him getting success.
Well, we were high on him from that. Then he sat on the bench behind that old fuck from the Rams.
Yeah.
And then he wasn't even going to start last year. In favor of Coleman, who was a rookie.
Coleman got hurt early, also looks Freeman impressive.
Yeah. So they're set the way the NFL runs now, split the carries between two backs.
They both can catch the ball.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
We were betting against Atlanta the first couple of weeks and got lucky on one. We thought, oh, yeah, okay, there's a team we can exploit.
Well, that's the worst thing that happened was we got that Tampa Bay victory in week one, and it took us 3 weeks to readjust.
So I don't think there was many people thought they'd beat Denver, but...
No. But okay, moving on to our first loser. Philadelphia -3 at Detroit.
So I didn't see you with Red Zone. I saw none of this game. Just
their defense didn't appear for the entire first half. I mean, Detroit did nothing surprising.
Well, no, Stafford only had 120 yards passing.
They threw to the backs. The backs tore it up. I thought Philly had a pretty good pass rush. Not so against Detroit, which, let's face it, their O-line is not amazing. It's not the Hogs.
No, but when the Titans played the Lions, we didn't get a lot of heat on Stafford either. And we sacked Tannehill this week 6 times. So
I actually really believe in your Tennessee defense, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We still had a chance, though. The much more likely outcome would have been a
1-point loss, or yeah, from a push.
Oh no, we wouldn't even have gotten the push. We would have, you know, still failed to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been 1 point away from a push, though, instead of Philly losing.
But there was enough time left that a Philly touchdown by no means was out of the question.
No.
Sometimes you just can't help yourself, you know? And then, because it's not enough that current Chargers players curse me, former Chargers players will fuck me, too.
So Ryan Matthews,
a soft fucking fumble like that, I've seen it 30 times, I swear to God. They're still whining that should have been ruled out of bounds. No, the play was called right. I'm not going to whine that way. That they said the player was out of bounds when he first touched it. That was impossible to determine. You put the ball in that situation, you deserve to lose it. Quit your whining, Philly fans.
Yeah, that one. That...
Darius Slay, who, by the way, had a fucking outstanding game, but that wasn't one of his better plays. That was a soft fumble.
Well, do you get it punched out?
Sort of, if you want to call it a punch.
The guy was just trying to wrap his arms around him and he fumbled?
Yeah, just came up, swatted at the ball. Ryan went back to his ball security, which has plagued him all of his life, with the exception of 1 year. And then he looked emotionally crushed, by the way. And I've also seen that look before, so...
Yeah, just look at the Chargers sideline week to week.
No, I meant specifically from Ryan Matthews. His head's never been particularly solid. So, you know, looking at Philly going forward... Maybe he'll bounce back from it, but I would stake strongly that he doesn't.
Oh, I would they'll just go with Sproles or somebody late for ball security. Somebody will get Smallwood or something. They'll go there.
Yeah, but you still needed Matthews in for that play. It was a play call designed to sweep him outside for a 2-yard gain, which has never made sense to you or I. Like, why the fuck do you have these plays? And let's face it, too, Ryan Matthews is not the fastest guy to take the edge.
No.
We've never figured out this play.
Well, why wouldn't you just, if you're going to do that, just do a screen pass to fucking Sproles. Makes more sense.
Yeah, if you're going to do a more risky play, if you don't trust your O-line to block up front, but against a Lions front that's missing Ziggy Ansah, you should be able to punch that forward. And you're in 4-down territory. So you get stuffed, as long as you don't take a big loss. You're going to take another crack at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Andy Reid's coaching tree continues to play like Andy Reid late in the game. All right, and then this is the one that hurt.
Yeah, this is I flipped to this game just at the crucial moment.
On red zone, by the way, these two plays that we're going to talk about here, the Ryan Matthews fumble and the Chicago fumble, came back to back. It was like sticking a dagger in my heart.
Okay, well, let's talk about, what's the dude's name in Meredith?
Yes.
In Chicago. I've seen that play probably 1,000 times. And 997 of them, it's an incomplete pass.
Exactly. Because
he doesn't make a football move. And this one was a fucking fumble.
Yeah, if this is a fumble, Dez Bryant scored.
Yeah. It was like he caught the ball, took one step, punched out, and they challenged it, ruled it a fumble.
And when you texted me, how is that a fucking fumble? And I just said, Indy is getting these fucking calls at home that are absurd.
They kept replaying it and replaying it. I'm like, he took one step. That's never been considered a football move anywhere I've watched it.
No, even though in the old days, before they started ruling all of these incomplete passes, I would have called that a fumble. But then
yes.
For the last 4 years, they've conditioned me to believe that unless the guy massages the ball a bit, polishes it up, that they won't consider it possession. They won't consider it a catch.
And with Dallas, or with the Bears only needing a field goal to tie there, we were still in the cover position. Chicago's got the ball.
They could drive down. Like, the worst case would have been a successful Chicago field goal, because that would have put us in jeopardy in overtime of a 6-point victory.
Yeah.
But our odds were outstanding at that stage, especially with that kicker from Chicago.
Well, and the Colts ended up kicking a field goal to go up 29-23, and the Bears got the ball to the 20.
And Alshon Jeffrey had 5 yards of separation. And this wasn't after the ball was thrown. It wasn't like the guy gave up on his coverage on Alshon Jeffrey on the left side of the field after the ball was thrown elsewhere. He just stopped. It's like the corners don't even worry about Alshon, because Hoyer, who played a pretty good game, just doesn't even look at Alshon Jeffrey.
Well, I was asking you during the, when I was watching the Titans and we were talking during the game, how are the Bears losing this game? Like, Hoyer had thrown for 300 yards. They had 500 yards of offense and they were losing. Doesn't even make sense.
I'd already seen a wide variety of dubious calls in this game at that point.
So that one hurt.
That one really did, because we were in a cover position. All they've got to do is eat some clock, drive it down. If they make the field goal, Indy's probably going to play for a field goal coming back with a bit of time.
Yeah, all we needed them to do was eat clock, really.
Yep.
Because then if they run out of timeouts or whatever, don't kick the field. I didn't care if Chicago won. Needed them to cover. They just needed to get it under control the ball under 2 minutes, which they would have if they wouldn't have called that a fumble.
Yeah.
Because
our worst case would have been a successful Chicago field goal.
3.5 minutes left?
Yeah.
And the fumble, and then they stopped the Colts. I think the Colts might have got one first down in that sequence, and then they kicked a field goal.
Yeah. And Vinatieri, by the way, Chicago's kicker had already missed one. Thank you. And Vinatieri hit either 3 or 4 field goals from 50-plus.
And that one was from 46, so it was like, yeah, he's going to make that.
And
so I punished myself to watch the end of that game.
Yeah.
Knowing when they didn't need a field goal to tie, we were going to be fucked. Because they had to go for the touchdown, so they weren't going to kick a field goal.
The touchdown was there. That's what killed me. Alshon Jeffrey is wide open in the left end zone, and that's before the ball is out.
But that's the difference between...
Alshon Jeffrey got the least targets of any pass catcher for the Bears.
But that's the difference between being the backup quarterback for the Chicago Bears and a starter on a good team. That's why Hoyer's a backup on the Chicago Bears and not starting somewhere, because they don't see that. Not that he's purposefully...
He's not terrible, by the way. There's a million worse quarterbacks than Hoyer.
No, but he's not purposefully shutting out Alshon. But if you look at, if you only can look at two reads.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
That's the difference between a starter and a fucking guy riding the bench that looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick coming off the bench. And then you put him in a starter and they shit the bed. That's why he's a backup, career backup.
Okay, we got
missed that.
So that was a brutal loss, and our pick was right. All right, let's just do our games real quick. Start with Tennessee.
Yeah, that we just ran the ball down our throat, and the Miami offensive line is as bad as advertised. I don't even know how you evaluate Tannehill at this point.
You evaluate him as terrible.
No, but you can't. Watching that game, you can't. You think Landry Luck's getting pressure?
When he had time in previous years, he was the fucking checkdown king. When he has no time, it's all of a sudden not his fault. Why anyone thinks he's a valid quarterback, I wouldn't take him as a backup. I wouldn't take him on the fucking practice squad. He's goddamn awful.
Well, everybody they've played, Cincinnati's defense hasn't been great this year. They beat the shit out of him. I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt just to see what he could do with
year six, being in a stable system for 4 years. This
what
is a
valid
system
excuse? Has he been in for 4 years?
Philbin was his coach from day one until the middle of last year.
Yeah, but the team that's been put together like shit. They have a front office that's as bad as Cleveland's. They had the GM that fucking they had to fire or they hung on to for an extra 6 months after the whole fucking N-word shit and all that bullying
keep
locker room.
Giving that guy another chance. He's a
Marlon.
You gotta
watch them play. Watch them play.
Yeah,
he's got like zero time. The only thing that worked for him were screen passes. And I said that to you during the game. Why aren't they doing that more?
Well, okay, but I've seen Philip Rivers with zero time produce far better numbers. Talent.
No. Name me a receiver in fucking
Jarvis
Miami.
Landry. Why do you think I like him in fantasy? Because Captain Checkdown is always going to look at Jarvis Landry.
It's the team. The whole team is shit.
Jarvis Landry's good.
From offensive line, the defensive line did nothing. We manhandled them. So we ran it down.
Oh, yeah. And I want to talk briefly. Like, seriously, Tannehill is abysmal. And if he goes somewhere else and ever has success, I will fucking eat my own underwear. It's just...
No, but it's the thing where you can't... Who knows?
Usually those who knows guys are the guys who've gone through five coaches, five coordinators.
No, we've talked about it before. All those quarterbacks that came in to Detroit before when the first round picks, who knows? Like, we thought Philbin was a shit coach watching him on Hard Knocks. We called that fucking in year two. He was a shit coach.
I still think he's had more advantages than those hacks who get a different offensive coordinator every year.
Ooh, they let his running game walk away. They took away his running game.
Well, yeah, and with the running game, he was scintillating last year.
No, but there of any hope of having any protection in the passing game when your offensive line's that bad is having some threat of a running game.
They were missing two offensive linemen. Granted, Tunsil, who's...
Slipped getting out of the shower Sunday morning. That's why he didn't play.
Was he wearing a gas mask or not?
But it... No, they're just a horrible team. Managed horribly. And they've been anything but stable. I'm not defending Tannehill to that degree.
Honestly,
he had a fair shot.
Every one of the five quarterbacks who started for the Cleveland Browns this year has looked better than Tannehill. Charlie Whitehurst looked fucking better than Tannehill.
They're just one of the worst teams in football from top to bottom. Management through.
Oh, I agree. Like, how exactly did they hire, what's his name, Tannenbaum from the Jets? Is that their GM who destroyed the Jets and then they hired him to destroy the Dolphins?
But there's no talent anywhere on that team.
No. It's a brutal team, but Tannehill's a big part of that brutality. And I don't understand why there are so many apologists for Tannehill out there.
Well, just because
think his wife is that fucking hot.
I've seen so many young quarterbacks come into the league into a shitty organization that when you lose your confidence being in that kind of environment for that long, there's no turning back.
Yeah, but the bigger thing, and we agree with this argument, but that's usually because there's complete chaos at the top. He was in a stable system and could not perform.
Just because they were there doesn't mean it was a good system.
Well, all right. Pick him up as a backup next year in Tennessee.
Philbin was a horrible coach.
Yeah, but if... Okay, seriously.
And their GM was a fucking dumpster fire. He was the one that was asking
Tannenbaum?
Guys...
Like, do I have the name right
before,
there
the guy before.
Oh, okay. But...
That asked one of the receivers... if his mom was a prostitute, that's what they had in Miami, dude.
Oh,
That's what I'm saying. Even though it looks stable from the outside because they were there for 4 years, it was a fucking shit show. The ownership's a joke. I feel sorry for anybody getting drafted there because they just go there to die.
But he's a bad, bad, bad quarterback.
Well,
in terms
like
of starters who's held a starting job in about 4 years, seriously, he's held that job for 4 years. Tell me anyone who looks worse, and he doesn't get any better.
But they haven't put anything around him either in 4 years or 6 years. What have they given him? Lamar Miller was the best player they had on offense, and they just let him fucking walk and replaced him with a guy fucking 10 years older. Like...
Yeah, no, but again, apologize for Tannehill all you want.
You got to watch them play, and you'll see what
they're that brutal, but I've watched him for years, and he's awful. He's never been anything but awful. He was awful from week one. Matt Moore should have fucking started in that. Matt Moore was better in that Hard Knocks. He's been a brutal player. He's a meathead. He's captain check down. He doesn't even look down the field. He's just an awful, awful player.
Well, Marlon, you can't throw anything downfield when you're laying on your ass.
Yeah, and that brings up what I do want to bring up. I'm a big believer in your Tennessee defense. I think you have a top 10 defense in this league, and that's...
Teams can run on us. That's why I was surprised Miami didn't do more of the little dink passes in the running game. That's where they had success.
Okay, you've been bringing this up to me for the longest time, and you are correct. After halftime, you give up fuck nothing. You might have given up a touchdown to Miami, but that was garbage time, the first time your team's ever been in that position, right? And I don't count that. Your team's defense, you gave Minnesota the toughest fight of their year so far. By far.
Yeah.
I think they're... If Mularkey could hire and let a good offensive coordinator, you say you have no speed at wideout, your defense is fucking top 10.
Well, the
wideout... don't try to deny it.
No, I'm not. But the wideout problem isn't Mularkey's. That's the GM's fault.
Yeah, though I can also see if you're keeping an interim coach, that's the time to jettison all the old baggage of the previous regime.
Oh,
you thought it would be
nothing,
and I don't think anyone anticipated how good your defense would be.
Well, I think Tennessee knew how good their defense was going to be. That's why they got DeMarco Murray and drafted Derrick Henry and said we're going to be a smash-mouth football team.
Yeah, which...
And when there's no... Who would we have signed as a free agent at wideout that would have made a difference? There's nobody
good
I can think
there's
of.
There's nobody.
There was nobody I can think of that was a big free agent at the receiver position. So they went with, we're going old school. But it hurts them because when you get behind and have to throw the ball, there's nobody is scared of the run or the pass.
I'm afraid you're going to mess up Mariota a bit with this offense.
Well, he had four touchdown passes in the game.
Oh, yeah, but you just described what a dumpster fire Miami was.
Oh, yes, but the...
And that's kind of the first game where I've seen him look good. I don't like his mechanics. I don't like him throwing on the jump. I still like Mariota, but your team, by the way, as a 2-3 team at this stage, correct? You're 2-3?
Yeah.
I think you're a good 2-3. I'm almost disappointed that we're not allowed to bet on Tennessee because when you get points, I don't mind taking your team.
No, and but the wideout thing is going to prevent us from getting in the playoffs. But
honestly, do you think you're significantly worse than any team in the South? Who's going to win the South? Indy's won two games. Houston's won three games.
Yeah, but Houston's got to win over us.
Yeah, okay. Houston's won three. And you play them again, so you can make that up. And Jacksonville's an abomination. You could win the South.
I know, but that's why I'm saying I think our receiving core is going to end up costing us the South.
No, I think your team's getting better, by the way.
Yes, we have played better, but I'm saying that when you need that catch, you're not always going to be in a position running the football to win the game for 16 straight weeks. At some point, you're going to have to throw and make some plays down the field. And, if we only need 6 yards, we can get it on a pass. If we need 20 or you want to make a big play to turn a game, we don't have that capability.
But your defense is good enough that if you can put up 21, 17-21,
but that was the first
you've got
week
a
we put up over 21.
Shot. You were playing the best team in the NFC. Oh, that was
no,
the first.
But we haven't,
yeah.
Our
no,
Marlin,
all
our
you've
got to
do
we're
is...
We're averaging 15 points a week.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've watched them for 5 weeks. This was the first time we went over 20. If the receiving issue is going to bite us in the ass in the game that could cost us the playoffs, it's written in fucking stone. We have nothing that anybody, even Miami, as shitty as they are, aren't scared of our receivers. So eventually, you're going to come up with a defense that's going to stifle the run, and we're going to have to win with the pass, and we can't. We just can't. There's no talent there for anything past 10 yards.
It's and fucking to complete, hilarious. I'm saying the Titans are good, and you're fucking enraged.
Well, to complete 8 10-yard passes down the field, I don't care what NFL team you're playing against. That doesn't happen very often on a drive.
You don't get six of those a game. You can't live on an 18-play drive. I agree with that.
That's my point.
Because
eventually
with that.
Something's getting fucking wrong, and then you're fucked. So it's going to bite us in the ass when we should, Marlon, we should cruise to that division with our defense. If we had anybody at wide receiver, anybody that could go 15 yards and get open, we'd walk away with that division. But it's not happening this year because of that limitation. Because eventually teams will just stack the box. We're going to have to win some games against some good teams to get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Though,
do I think we?
I still think you're the best team in the South. Whether you win it or not, I think you're the best team in the South.
Well, until we can beat Houston.
I want to see. When do you first play the Colts?
I don't even know.
Because that's going to be interesting. Because against that O-line, you should get another 6 sacks.
Yeah, but Andrew Luck's had a fucking some kind of fucking mysterious hold over us when we play him. We could be up. Remember the game was at last year, 2 years ago? He scored like 21 points in the fourth quarter.
That's the only way he wins games because that team's so fucking terrible. I still think the Colts are terrible.
Well, they are, but we haven't been able to beat them, and they've been fucking terrible. We didn't even beat them last year with a backup in, for fuck's sakes. So,
no, I actually like your Titans. I'm a fan of them.
No, it's been more fun watching them this year than the past five.
I like them. Mariota is regressing in my eyes. I liked a better simplicity. I hate seeing him throw the Flutie pass, but
there's
nobody to throw to.
It's fucking frustrating as hell watching him stand back there with all day against a team like Miami, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
It's just like, can't somebody get the fuck open? Change the scheme. Do something to get guys some space.
You know, and that's where you've got malarkey. Okay. Well, the Chargers. They covered. We both had Oakland. I don't know, Boyd. You texted me after this game. I think the quote was, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like what's happening to this Chargers team.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how they could lose, and there's no other ways left to lose. Well, maybe a blocked extra point for a safety.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's one option. Also, a writer on Football Outsiders was, well, they haven't given up a Hail Mary yet. The last play. So those are on the checklist. Ooh, that blocked extra point returned for two. That's fucking awesome. I can't
wait.
That'd
be an evil way to lose.
Week 9.
What? Well, I wasn't watching the game.
I
was. But I flipped
every
over.
Frightening second.
I flipped over late in the fourth when they were marching down to try and kick the winning or the tying field goal.
Oh, so it's your fault.
And I was standing in the kitchen and I saw the snap go through the holder's hands. And I just went, there's no. I said to Paul and my wife, I'm like, I can't fucking believe this. How they can lose games like you never see that. It wasn't like it was raining or like the game in Pittsburgh.
Perfect
with the Chiefs.
Snap, by the way. Absolutely perfect snap.
Oh, and did you see what's going on in San Diego? This is how. And this probably comes down, and I'm going to say this name so you go into a rage, Dean Spanos.
Okay.
It probably comes from him, but they lost the game. And their kicker is talking to Janikowski and laughing
smiling.
And they're bitching about it. The coach has called him into the office
Fuck
and said,
off.
Oh, when you when you react like that after a loss, it pisses some of your teammates off. So he went on an apology tour around the locker room.
I talking saw to guys. This.
And then Deadspin fucking put up about 10 pictures of other Philip Rivers smiling, talking to fucking Derek Carr.
Well, no, and that's what you do. It's just Rivers himself just said, you gotta laugh or you'll cry. Like, and by the way, first of all, the touchdown at the back of the end zone, which was 10 minutes, by the way, from the start of this play to the resolution. 10 real-time fucking minutes.
I saw that play, too, and I'm like, okay, you called it. The refs called it that he got pushed out. How was that pass incomplete?
Well, pass incomplete, but also they never threw a flag for pass interference till afterwards. All that came off in the play was a hat, and that looked to me just
no, there was a flag.
Out.
No, there was a flag and a hat.
No, the flag was the same for first guy touching.
No, the hat's for out stepping out of bounds.
Yeah, but the flag is for the first guy touching. He didn't throw the flag till he caught the ball. The flag was never for pass interference. It was for illegal touching.
But after a brief conversation,
and by the way, that wasn't pass interference. What he did was he ran a corner, came across on the slant. The corner had the space, was backing up to the ball in position. That is not PI or force out.
Well, he did put his arm on his shoulder. I know it was... you could go either way, but I want to
pretty ticky-tack.
Yeah, but from what I've seen in Tennessee games, that's fuck. We would have got flagged for pass interference.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll accept that. Like, I'll accept the touchdown.
Yeah, but how was it ruled incomplete?
No one in that officiating crew... Yes, exactly. How was it ruled incomplete?
He caught the fucking ball. It never came close to being loose. Or touching the ground.
And by the way, his hand on the shoulder did not force him out of the back. So that was a voluntary out of the back. That's illegal touching.
Yeah, but they ruled it incomplete on what grounds? Because they did call him for pushing him out, correct?
Quality of officiating. That's what they did. They said he went out at first. And then they had, in the actual quote was, after a brief conversation, we have decided... Like, that was...
I didn't understand anything that happened on that play.
And
again,
the NFL
thing.
Wants to know why ratings are down? Because it gets into this bizarre, twisted lawyer ball that no one fucking understands, clearly including the refs. Because there's no way that pass was incomplete. There are many things we could argue about whether the force out was fine. Like... I'm not going to get into those details, right? That's ultimately irrelevant. Though I don't think he forced him out of bounds. He went out of bounds with the man in front of him playing a position which was valid.
But it should have been one of two things on that play. He pushed him out of bounds,
which he didn't.
But just let me finish. He pushed him out of bounds and it's a touchdown.
No.
Or he didn't push him out of bounds. And it's an incomplete pass.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Because
right?
He stepped out. That's the two options. And they came up with the third. Pass interference in the end zone, and he stepped out of bounds, and it's incomplete. Put the ball at the one. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? There was two options to make on that play. Two calls.
10 minutes this took.
I know. And Marlon, the only reason I watched it and had any vested interest in it was because Amari Cooper's on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
I just wanted him to go, touchdown. Yeah, he was pushed out complete. Yeah, he was interfered with, caused him to go out of bounds, but the ruling on the field stands as incomplete. And I watched every fucking replay they showed. That ball never wiggled once he got his hands on it.
No.
Fucking didn't wiggle.
No.
And he landed on his back. He landed on his back. So where did the... And that the play in Chicago, between Chicago and Indy on the fumble, where he took half a step or a step and it got knocked out and they called that a fumble? and that incomplete in that fucking Raiders-Chargers game? Fucking mind-boggling. Nobody knows what the fuck is going on. Jerry Jones even came out today and said nobody in the NFL knows what a fucking catch is yet.
They don't. And again, with declining ratings, here's a problem. You get close, exciting games. Are they decided by the abilities of athletes? No. They are decided by Byzantine officiating. Now, the second one, which I didn't even notice live, but I read about it on Football Outsiders, and then I looked up the replay. Before the Chargers' interesting field goal attempt to tie the game, the second down play was an incomplete pass. The ball was spotted a half yard behind the original line of scrimmage. A half yard. Chargers didn't line up quick. There was a timeout. They came back. The ball was still a half yard behind the original line of scrimmage. Now, I'm not clear how you lose a half a yard in an incomplete pass. Third down and two. Misses by inches.
Ah, that's where I was going, well, what does it matter if they kick the field goal? But I get it now.
Makes a huge fucking difference. I read this on a Football Outsiders game log. Looked up the play. Yeah. So, yeah. That should have been first.
That's fucked.
And 10. Not a missed snap. How do... Sorry.
I hear you, dude.
And that's just incompetence. And don't tell me that Stanatori is one of the best. They're all fucking terrible. Like, that's just wild incompetence. You can easily find this play... Second down is an incomplete pass. Ball is a half yard behind the original line of scrimmage. Markers don't change. So, fuck you, world.
Well, what we did learn in that game, or what we're learning this year, is we were right on Derek Carr.
Yeah.
He looks really good throwing the ball.
Yeah, and we're also learning that I still think we're right that the Raiders are 1 year out. It's a good team, but their defense is not good. I mean, and no. One thing about Carr here, by the way, that was playing our fourth and fifth string cornerbacks.
Oh, I'm just saying, he's still making the throws. He can only go against what's there.
Mm-hmm.
He led the game-winning drive against Baltimore on the road. He's winning the shootouts. The loss to Atlanta doesn't look so bad now that they beat Denver for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Doesn't look as horrible as we thought it was when it happened. So the Raiders are good. I don't know how their defense has fallen so far back from last year. Because it was the defense that would keep them in games when the offense sputtered, and now the offense is carrying the whole fucking load.
Yeah, though they... I mean, talk about a soft fumble, by the way, Melly Gordon. Anyway, I think that's all we're going to do on our recap show here. Do we want to break this up and give it in two segments?
Nah.
Nah? Okay, because we're already like almost 50 minutes in here.
That's okay. We'll just go through the games. If we're not interested in betting, we'll just skip them.
Yeah,
When
you put this up... To also say that at 50 minutes we start our picks.
Okay.
Okay.
That can be done.
All right. So, yeah, life as a Chargers fan is delightful.
It's and you actually get a Thursday amusing. Night to follow it up.
When they fumbled that snap, all I could do, like, I'm so numb now. I'm glad the Chargers are built on principles and protocols. Thank you, Dean Spanos. It's a great football team. Fucking Keystone Cops. All right. So, is it that time now?
I think so, finally.
It's motherfucking game time!
That's right. It's motherfucking game time.
Okay, timestamp, please.
49:46.
Okay.
And with the intro, call it roughly 50 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. The Thursday night game, Denver at San Diego. Denver is favored by 3 points. We assume Simeon is playing. We saw why Lynch is a rookie, held the ball too long, got sacked by a less than fearsome Atlanta pass rush half dozen times.
But couldn't Denver run the ball?
They tried.
That's what I mean. Like, if it's falling, if you're falling, blaming Lynch, I would think in that situation, what they've done all year with the rookie quarterbacks is run to set them up, take the heat off the quarterback. So if they're not running, then you're fucked. So I give Atlanta credit.
I give Atlanta great credit. Their game plan was outstanding. Why the hell didn't Freeney sign with Atlanta? Or not Atlanta, Arizona again.
Oh. Why, who's he with?
Atlanta.
Oh? Yeah, Arizona could use a situational pass rusher.
Yeah, seems to me. Not only that, from what we saw in All or Nothing, he was a great presence.
Yeah.
Anyway, a little shocked, but we can't bet this game anyway. I cannot take San Diego in this place. It's going to be Denver, and I think it's going to be Denver by double digits.
No, I'm taking San Diego.
Really?
Going with the home team strategy. Yeah.
Chargers didn't work for me last week.
Chargers have put up points against everybody.
Yeah, I think they're only going to put up high teens, low 20s in this game.
That'll keep them close.
All right. I'm going out with some guys from our league tomorrow, so there's a whole bunch of Broncos fans in that group.
So who's all going?
I assume Gene, Matthew, Josh, Dave. You should swing by.
Oh, there's a whole group.
Come by for a beer after work.
Yeah, we'll see, but I doubt it.
You just never like to travel to the inner city core. Too much ethnicity down here.
That's right.
All right. Next up, Baltimore is +3 at the New York Giants. I don't hate Baltimore here.
No. And we've been shitting on them all year, though. And you said to me, even during the game on Sunday, they're still a fraud.
But they're not as big a fraud as the Giants. I mean, I know Peyton will occasionally get otherworldly, but, I mean, this Walter Football tweeted this out. He just said, is Peyton drunk? During the game in Green Bay. He was that bad. He was sailing it over the top. He was hitting the ground. He looked awful. And Green Bay's not that intimidating. Baltimore should have won that game, by the way, against an equally fraudulent Redskins team.
Well, the game did get tied at one point, did it not? It flashed. Was there a touchdown taken away late?
Yeah, there was a touchdown taken away because Mosley intercepted a pass. Was going in for, well, he should have just
not that one.
Okay.
Not that, at the end of the game. When Baltimore was driving.
He was out of bounds.
Again, I didn't see it. I just saw the score change, and then it went back to 10.
Defenders are now doing what we said they should do. goddamn, like 4 years ago when they changed the push-out rule,
yeah.
You and I on this podcast, I said, if I'm a defender now and it's contested at the sideline, I don't worry about the ball. I just wait for the touch and knock him out of bounds. The sideline's another defender. Why did it take NFL coaches 4 years to teach this to the kids? Because that's what they're all doing now, and smartly.
Yeah, because if you have to jump up for the ball, you're not getting 2 feet down if I shove you.
Yeah. Then you don't worry about the ball. Hey, you can have all the hands you want, but I'm going to take you out of bounds as soon as the ball touches.
Yep.
And that's what happened on that play. And it was the right call.
Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't see it. I just saw the score update, and I had Baltimore teased to +3 or something. So I was like, okay. Because I think that was the only morning game I got wrong, and then it all went to shit in the afternoon. So it didn't matter anyway. But at the time, it was big for me. But that's what happens when you try and tease all 13 games.
Yeah, you got to be like me and only tease 9 of them like I did in Vegas and catch the winner.
I think I was like 10-4, though.
That's all right.
But all the games in the middle were shit. I started hot and did well at the back end, but the games in the middle, I sucked ass. But
anyway, I actually don't mind Baltimore here just because I think the Giants... Once again, we've bet them on the under. They scared me a bit at the start of the season, but they're terrible. They have no running game at all. Baltimore, win or lose, is close.
Yeah, we could put it in the mix.
Okay. Are you going Baltimore on that?
Yeah. Well, if it's in the mix, yeah.
All right. Well, no, sometimes we've switched. All right, next up, Carolina is off the board at New Orleans.
Okay, this is going to be New Orleans -3 to -4.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Cam's supposedly playing. Don't know if that does anything because their defense in Carolina is just awful. -3, I'm taking the Saints. Anything higher than that, I'm taking Carolina.
Okay, I'm taking Nolans all the way.
Because I think they're both terrible. But with New Orleans offense or defense, Carolina
Jonathan Stewart is back, which might not be bad because you can run against New Orleans. Yeah, I'm still taking the home team. New Orleans at home, they're not what they were, but they're still not bad. All right, next up, we have Cincy +9 at New England.
I don't want to touch this one yet.
Me either. Cleveland. We should have bet it. We discussed what a perfect game it was for New England. Though Cincy, how far have they fallen? Do you know? I don't.
Well, they were down 28-0 to the Cowboys. That's the game I had on until I switched over to the Chargers.
But that was almost all Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter. Tom Brady, Ezekiel Elliott, what the fuck's the difference?
Well, one's running and one's passing.
Yeah, but they're still going to chew him up.
Yeah. 9 points is a lot. I'm going to take New England.
But Cincy's defense hasn't shown anything of what they had the last few years. Like, I didn't know if they'd beat Dallas, but I thought it would be close.
I was confident. I bet Cincy on my own. I didn't think Dallas's defense was any good. And they pitched a shutout late into the third, into the fourth. I mean, 28-14 flatters Cincy. They just got flat out whopped.
Yep.
Eifert being gone, they have no red zone threats. That's true. Love A.J. Green, but he can't be at all. All of their secondary receivers that I guess they thought they could just replace wandered with Sanu and Jones and all these guys over the years. Tyler Boyd, yeah, fuck me. I've dropped him from every fantasy team I owned him in. He looks like a rookie wide receiver hack. Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking New England.
Yeah, I don't want to touch it either. Thought I might have a fight with you wanting New England there, but I'm not ready for it yet.
No, no.
Okay, next up, we have Cleveland, +7 at Tennessee. We can't bet it.
Wouldn't bet it.
If Tennessee can score 21, they cover this. I am on your guys.
Yeah, me too, but I still wouldn't bet it even if we were able to. It's just... We should be able to run the ball on Cleveland. Our passing game shouldn't be a factor.
You can defend the run, which is the biggest part of Cleveland. I might bet this on my own. I like Tennessee a lot, though. Laying 7 on a...
Well, for a team that averaged like 15 points a game until last week...
Yeah, it's
it's a lot of points.
That's sober second thought right there.
I'm taking them because I think, well, McCown might start for them.
Yeah, if McCown starts, I'm not going near it because he's marginally competent.
And for the first 3 weeks of the season, you could pick on Parrish Cox. Teams haven't been doing that the last couple of weeks, so we'll see.
You think it's a return to the oldies? Okay. All right. Next up, we have Jacksonville, +2.5 at Chicago.
Too shitty team rule. I'm invoking it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
Hoyer looked good against Indy.
Well, and that's, like, this game is screaming Chicago to me.
Yes, but it's fishy.
Jacksonville off the bye. Gus Bradley is 50-50, so there's nothing to be gleaned there.
No, they're, Vegas is saying Jacksonville's better, a half point better on a neutral field.
Yeah, and I don't buy that. This really is two shitty teams. Though if we start invoking the two shitty team rule on everything, we'll never make a bet. But no, I'm not advocating.
That's
by
true,
the way.
But that's
no. I want no part of this. Chicago hurt me. They hurt me deep in my soul last week. And they hurt us the week before by beating Detroit.
Yeah.
Hoyer,
I'm going Chicago. I can't. Hoyer looked too good. Jacksonville has no pass rush. Not much of a running game. I don't know if they
Jordan
can cover
Howard
Robinson.
Howard is a good back. I mean, he won't be great the next 2 weeks versus Seattle and... Oh, who else is he facing? Might be the pack. But he's good enough to chew up that Jacksonville thing, give Hoyer some time. I like Chicago in this one quite a bit, but I'm gun-shy on Chicago.
Well, I tell you, if Chicago still had Martellus Bennett, they would have beat Indy.
Talk about another team with a confused organization. Like, John Fox said they don't have a plan with Cutler. Obviously they do. They're going to play Hoyer and dump Cutler. There's no way around it.
But who's looking for Cutler?
They're just going to dump him because he's cheap. They're never going to be able to trade Cutler. Like, could you imagine being in a GM's office and getting a phone call? Hey, so Cutler's on the block. What are you offering? The laughter would be deafening.
Seventh round pick.
I would
Cleveland
even
will take
that.
A shot at him. Cleveland will take a shot at him.
Yeah, and you're right, 6th, 7th maybe, but yeah, no, they're gonna play Hoyer. He's cheap. He's available. He's better. All right. Next up, we have the LA Rams plus 3 at Detroit.
Oh.
I don't have a clue, I don't want to bet it.
No, if they wouldn't have got fucking Jeff Fisher, you know, just when you call him, oh, he's fucking play it close to the vest Fisher, he goes and calls a fake punt in the fourth quarter at his own 20.
No, but he's always done that, and he's gotten away with it so many fucking times. But, okay, here's the lunacy of that play call. You were at 4th and 1 on the 4, and you kicked a field goal. This is on the previous drive, but then you're going to go with the fake punt in your own end. Because your offense gets down to the 4 that often? He doesn't know how to gamble. Like, it makes no sense. If you're going to go hard at the 4 when you need 10 points, that's when you do it.
And if you're going to build your team on
this guy named Todd fucking Gurley.
But if you're going to build your team on running game and defense, and there's 3.5, 4 minutes left, and you're punting from your own 20, put it in the hands of your defense if it's supposed to be that good.
Well, yeah.
Like, you're making no sense.
But he's played that card against Seattle like 4 times in the last 4 years, I swear. That supposed surprise punt. It was kind of his signature. So, you think Buffalo wasn't going, all right, he's going to fake it here. They were on that fucking play.
Yeah.
And again, usually taking the 3 in a 10-point game like that is the right way to go. Not
with that offense.
No, because you're never going to get that close again. That doesn't help us at all with this game, though.
I'm taking the Rams.
I'm taking Detroit. Home field and
that defense is going to eat them up.
Yeah, we'll see.
They scored 15 points. Yeah, but they scored 15 points against the Titans.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, welcome to 7-9 or 8-8 Jeff Fisher football, LA. It's all the glitz and glamour you asked for. All right. And you have the best running back in football. And you seemingly do not have a clue how to use him. And Case Keenum is throwing the ball. You traded years worth of draft picks for a guy who is he even second string now?
I don't pay any attention to those games, but he's dressed. I know he's dressed for a couple of games as a backup, but
oh, good. All right, next up, we have Philly minus 2.5 at Washington. You?
Well, I'm not betting the Eagles again.
Okay.
I'm taking them to win, but I don't fucking know between these two teams. I didn't think Washington could go into Baltimore and win.
Philly's better
than Eagles on the road.
Philly's better than Baltimore, and I gave a warning in the recap segment of this that you can't trust Ryan Matthews. I like Philly a lot here.
Okay, well, this is an easy one to swing me on. I've been on Philly all year. So
I really like Philly here. I think it was a bye week with a team that was shocked where they were. I think they thought the opposition would just bow to their will. Detroit put up 21 in the first half in that game. And then the clamps came on. Matthew Stafford is 5 times the quarterback that Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah.
The receiving core is better. Matt Jones, I'm not sold on him at all. I think this is...
No, well, we could bet on this punch one. I'm the not
tickets.
Against it.
Okay, I'm going to ticket as a possible in the mix. I think they're going to punch the ticket on a terrible... Well, not terrible. The Redskins team is just average. I like Carson Wentz. His first interception was the interception that no one ever remembers. It wasn't a great throw deep. But I think against Washington, too, you can keep going short. Here's another thing that supports your Baltimore pick. Steve Smith went out in the first quarter in that Baltimore game.
And that takes away the only receiving threat they had.
Yeah. You know, trying to work Perryman and I don't even know if Aiken's on the team anymore. Baltimore has no offensive weapons. I really like Philly in this game. I know it's a road favorite. Are they 5.5 better? I think that pass rush can get through to Cousins. And he will do a Cousins play.
Yeah, I just got to hope fucking Ryan Matthews isn't fumble-itis again.
Yeah, which they come in bunches. Speaking from experience, it's definitely something that backs me off. All right, next game up. Pittsburgh, -7.5 at Miami.
Yes, please.
Okay, every time you said yes, please, we've lost that game.
Well, so I watched Miami play last week. There's not a fucking hope in hell they're outscoring or even staying close to the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell is going to have 150 yards rushing. Antonio Brown will torch them. Tannehill will be on his ass the whole game. They're just bad. They're bad top to fucking bottom. Bad.
Yeah.
And the way the Steelers blitz, that offensive line won't have a hope. They're still essentially running Dick LeBeau's defense. And Dick LeBeau is coaching in Tennessee. He won't stand a fucking chance.
Okay.
Roethlisberger's going to light them up. Fucking Mariota had 4 touchdown passes. Murray ran for 125 yards. Derrick Henry ran for 60. There's no way they're slowing down Steelers' offense.
You're not frightened of Jarvis Landry and Jay Ajayi?
Yeah.
Okay. That's definitely in the mix. My only thing is Pittsburgh scores about 15 points less on the road than they do
not against
home.
This team.
Yeah, it's the worst team in football, and Tennessee just put up 31 on them.
Yeah.
I hate fucking laying 7.5. I just goddamn hate it.
You won't even have to worry about garbage time.
Yeah, and we comfortably laid 6 on Mini last week, but okay. All right, next up, we have...
I just want to say we have to exploit good teams against shit, because you don't get it that often.
Yeah, and we 7.5, it's not 11.
No.
Which was kind of the number in my head when I thought this game would come up.
Well, yeah, Tennessee just beat them by 13.
I play the Cousin Sal Bill Simmons game, right?
Yeah.
I like to play it, and as I explained to you the other week, I pause it, I choose the number in my head for what the line should be, and the worst thing that can happen is me being correct on the line. Right? That means I don't see anything to exploit. And in this game, I had it at 11. So, yeah, we're getting it at 7.5. I'm all aboard, too. Yeah, I just don't like your yes, please, because it's been a cursed phrase for us.
Well, that's and
so
the only,
I would
the
like
only
you
way,
to strike that from your verbiage.
The only way we get fucked on this one if Roethlisberger slips getting out of the shower.
Yeah,
that offense will put up points. They put up fucking 50 in a rainstorm in Pittsburgh. How could there's no way Miami covers this.
Okay.
Okay, I'll change it from yes, please to my lock of the week.
All right. That's been equally as successful. Okay. Next up, we have the San Francisco 49ers plus 8 at Buffalo. I want nothing to do with it. I can't
figure
it. It's
the two shitty team thing again, even though Buffalo's won 3 in a row.
LeSean McCoy is a fucking god. And you've talked about things you regret in fantasy. Auction draft.
Yeah.
It was me who thought McCoy would have this kind of year and not hammering my whole budget to get him. That's my regret. Yeah, well, I knew this was coming.
Mine's DeMarco Murray and Ezekiel Elliott. But
yeah, I didn't have a shot at Ezekiel, but the same sort of thing. LeSean McCoy is one of the most exciting football players we've seen in the last 8 years at his best. And I think sort of his off-year injury, having to deal with Chip Kelly, all of that shit was going to be gone. Fuck, he looks good when he's good. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't see the Bills having a problem, well, anybody really having a problem with Kaepernick, but they play against a similar quarterback in practice. So I don't think it'll be a big adjustment for them defensively. And, yeah.
I think Buffalo's pretty good. They're not good enough to lay 8 with.
Yeah,
like, fuck, I was bitching, and I mean, we're saying, is Pittsburgh 10.5 better than Miami? Yeah, probably. Is Buffalo 5 points better than the Niners on our neutral field? Probably, yes. But I still don't like it.
I'm taking the Bills. I don't want to bet on it, but I'm taking the Bills.
Just because this is the Rex Ryan game where he gives it all back, I'm going to take the Niners.
And regret it.
Backdoor cover. I might. I got a 3-game lead on you. Okay. Next up, we have KC plus 1 at Oakland.
Now, how does that line make any sense?
Oakland's got issues, man.
I know, but Kansas City does too on offense.
Is this the... It used to be Andy Reid after a bye week was golden.
Yeah, but he's,
now his record is...
He's only one game over 500 in Kansas City, I think.
Yeah, 2-1 in Kansas City and 12-5 overall. Jamal Charles may be back, and that Oakland run D, not good. The Oakland pass D isn't good either, but I don't think KC... Okay, what everything you said about Tennessee earlier, in that one-score game that there's no threat to go deep, that's KC.
Well, yeah, and against Tennessee, Oakland's pass defense looked like it was fucking all pro. I'm not kidding. Okay. If they don't have to cover deep, they're okay.
Yeah, which was probably why Rivers was lobbing up those. I think he went deep 5 times with 2 picks and 2 deep, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, who on KC is stretching the field?
Nobody. Give me the Raiders. For a guy that's played about 3 snaps, Jamal Charles isn't really scaring me. Yes.
Do you want to play this game?
You could put it in the mix.
Okay. Because I'm on the Raiders as well. All right. Next up, we have Atlanta, plus 6.5 at Seattle.
The fuck do you do with this game?
wish you didn't have your choice between Philip Rivers and Matt Ryan in fantasy.
Six and a half is
too much. I don't want to bet this, by the way.
Well, we don't have a fucking underdog yet.
Yeah, we do. We're looking at Baltimore.
Oh. Okay. Well, who's a better team right now?
Who's Atlanta? The worst opposition? To use your Pittsburgh argument. The Giants aren't good. No, I get it.
If Atlanta had lost badly to Denver, I would be with you on that.
Okay. I'm on Atlanta, so make your case here.
Well, you're saying that the Broncos couldn't run on them. That's essentially the biggest weapon they have, is Michael has been their best offensive threat.
Okay.
In recent weeks. If they can stop that, can Russell Wilson do enough to beat him by a touchdown? Their offensive line in Seattle's bad.
Yeah, it's very bad, but Atlanta's pass rush is bad too, and Russell Wilson is not Lynch, who's a statue, or at least in that game, was a statue who was confused and held the ball for 3 or 4 seconds.
Doesn't 6.5 seem like too much, though?
It does, but it's Seattle at home.
If they're not the same team at home. They're not the same team at home. Pete Carroll's 2-2 off a bye.
Okay, to go with your travel argument, this is Atlanta going east to west.
Yeah, but they're not playing in the morning either, in either of those games. The morning game's the fucked up game.
Okay.
Because you're not used to playing it fucking...
Okay, I'll put it in the mix, because I'm kind of on Atlanta, because I haven't seen enough from Seattle to make them... If this were 7, I'd like it a lot more. It's definitely in the mix here, though.
Okay,
next up, we have Dallas, +4 at Green Bay. This is another underdog I like.
Yeah, I don't mind this one either. Now, you're not too high on Dallas's defense, but they shut down Kansas City. Green Bay's not great against the run. Ezekiel Elliott's leading the league in rushing. They're going to run him into the dirt like they did DeMarco Murray.
He's the first rookie with 130 yards in 4 games straight. They're going to use him, and that O-line can deal with Green Bay's lack of a pass rush.
And Green Bay's offense still isn't fixed.
No, they're not. Is Dallas's defense significantly worse than the Giants' defense?
Or... significantly worse than Green Bay's. No.
Like, and Green Bay will put up questions. Points. Okay, so we're looking at this. Well, how much does Dallas have to score? I think 21 they cover this game.
They will. They're going to score. They'll run. Elliott will have a couple of touchdowns in this game. Their defense doesn't do anything to scare you or to fucking frustrate a rookie quarterback. I don't think their defense is that great. I just think the Giants are bad. But then that goes to the argument taking the Ravens, but I don't think the Ravens are as good as Dallas.
Yeah. I don't mind this game, and I was a big... The 28-0 lead they put on what I still think is a fairly decent Cincy team. Maybe they've utterly collapsed.
But you look at Dallas's one loss was Prescott's first start in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they lost by a point. If they get Dez Bryant back...
They don't ask him to do much.
No, if they get Dez back, and Elliott running the ball, the way that offensive line is playing, they're playing like they did when Murray won the rushing title.
Hey, I love Elliott too, by the way, but have you noticed when they put in Morris, he looks just as good. That O-line has started to fucking maul.
Again,
and I think they can blast Green Bay off the ball.
Well, they blasted everybody else. Why would we think it would be anything different this week?
Yeah. Green Bay's gotten a couple of non-cover victories at home. And, by the way, how are they at home for 6 weeks?
Well,
this is perplexing, and it pisses me off.
But Green Bay's starting to remind me, their offense is getting this. Remember New Orleans last year? We're always favored because of Drew Brees. Packers are getting the same shit now, even though their offense hasn't been right for a good year. Take off the first six games of last year, their offense hasn't been good to where they should be favored by this much all the time. Like, Dallas is no slouch.
No.
And the line is good, minus 105.
Yeah,
only paying half the vig.
As I was saying, I'm... Again, you know my opinion on that. Let's pick winners. We'll worry about the vig if we're just...
No, I'm just pointing that out as an added bonus.
Yeah.
I'm on Dallas here all the way. I was just pointing that out for the listeners, that it's a... There's value to it, too. If you like Dallas in this game, there's value.
And I do like Dallas in this game.
Me too.
Okay.
I'm liking this one better than Atlanta.
I like this more than Atlanta.
And I like it more than Baltimore, too, right now.
Fair enough, but as I've said before, we don't have to pick just one underdog.
No, I know.
And in fact, you know, last week, underdogs went 9-5. Next game up, the Sunday night. Yes, this will fix television ratings. Indy, +3 at Houston. The Vegas line says this is a matchup of two shitty, terrible teams.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with this.
No. I'm taking Houston.
Though, yeah. Oh.
I think this is where DeAndre Hopkins gets back. Fucking Hoyer lit him up. Hopkins is going to get back on track in this game.
Okay, I love Andrew Luck. I love his personality. I love his book clubs. I love many, many things about him. I would like to see him take an injury that does not threaten his career just to get him out of my football gambling. I would just like to see him disappear until he's on a good team.
Well, let's put it this way. Chicago put up over 500 yards of offense against that defense, and their offensive line stinks.
Yeah.
They've got Lamar Miller running the ball for Houston. Fuller and Hopkins, they won't be able to cover them both at all. Had you heard of Meredith before that game?
No.
He looked like a fucking all-pro.
Yeah.
The last 5 minutes I watched.
Until he quote-unquote, fumbled.
He didn't fucking fumble.
At least not by the rules we've been accustomed to. But the rules vary week to week. That's a problem with the fucking NFL.
Give me Houston.
And I'm going to take Indy. Just, it feels like, in a lack of stars, the league wants Indy to win. There's absolute horseshit in the Chargers game. There's horseshit in every Indy game. Primarily at home. And the final game. We have the Jets. It is off the board, Arizona. I don't think we had any interest in
this. It's not off the board anymore.
No?
No, Jets are +7.5.
Still have no interest.
No, I don't either, but that line makes no sense. What the fuck has Arizona done to be 7.5-point favorites?
Must be a reaction to Decker going on IR.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of too. And Palmer's back, so
yeah, he was practicing. So I'm saying. Gonna take the goddamn Jets. 7.5? What has Arizona shown
that
says they should be 7.5 over anyone?
I know, but I'm still taking Arizona.
Okay, fair enough. Well,
Fitzpatrick's been putting up interceptions like he's handing out free passes to the movies, so...
7.5 is way too much.
And I don't think they stopped David Johnson in that game, so give me Arizona.
Yeah. Well, 7.5 and maybe a backdoor cover. Okay, so it's decision time.
So what do we got? We got the Raiders.
We got Baltimore. Okay, I think we're going to take Pittsburgh and lay an absurd amount of points, but
yeah, let's
do that
one first. Okay. So we got Pittsburgh -7.5, traveling to South Beach. $10 pays $19.09. Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that line should be 10 or 11 after what Tennessee did to them.
And yeah, Miami's had one good game against Seattle. And Cleveland should have won that game even, for God's sake. All right. We also have Baltimore +3, Atlanta +6.5, and Dallas +4. I think we both like Dallas.
I like Dallas better than any of those other ones.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll go Dallas. Dallas +4. At Green Bay. And we're doing it, usually when you bet road teams, you bet it on the D-line. We're betting it on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Being able to control that game.
Keep the fucking ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. Slow down the game.
Yeah, shorten it. That's all you have to do. If they only get between 40 and 50 plays, you got to be perfect. So $10, Dallas +4, Green Bay. $10 pays $19.52. Booked.
Now, I also didn't bring up, we also were considering Philly -2.5 at Washington.
And we had the Raiders -1 against Kansas City. Was in the mix, too.
Yeah.
Well, I liked the point you brought up about Kansas City not being able to throw the ball deep.
Yep.
And the way fucking Pittsburgh chewed up that secondary. The Raiders have a strong pass game.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go Raiders.
Okay.
So we have the Raiders -1 against Andy Reid's best record off a bye. Well, who's Philly playing?
Philly, Washington. That's two teams we don't really know yet.
Yeah,
I think we're getting a grasp on Oakland.
Yeah. Well, just that point you made about why am I going against that? The point you made about Kansas City throwing deep or anything. The Raiders' D's good, 10 to 15 yards. I saw it against the Titans. Okay. Raiders -1 over Kansas City in Oakland. $10 pays $19.09. And we are booked. And now you can stall for time while I pull up the outro read.
Okay, I'll read this out. We have bet Pittsburgh -7.5 at Miami. 10 pays $19.09. We have bet Dallas +4 at Green Bay. $10 pays $19.52. And we have bet Oakland at home facing Kansas City. $10 pays $19.09.
All right, and just a recap of where we're at for the year. We're down exactly $10 after 5 weeks. It's time to put the hammer down, buddy.
Yeah, well, still the cheapest hobby I've ever found.
All right, you can check out our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher for your Android device. On our website, offensiveline.ca, or offensivelines.ca, sorry. Follow us on Twitter, @offensivelines, for any updates to our blog posts or when a new podcast is available. Our personal Twitter accounts, @olinesmarlin or @olinesboyd. And I apologize in advance for all the Cub tweets you're going to see in the next 3 weeks. facebook.com/offensivelines. And if you want to send us an email, it's offensivelines@show.ca. I'm Boyd.
I'm Marlon. And that was our picks and recap show for week 5.
They fade us because they ain't us.
Degenerate fucking gamblers.